Hello, welcome to You Haven't Blanked That. I'm Forrest.
And this is Jimmy. Forrest.
Hey, Jimmy.
So this week we watched a movie, a holiday classic, Boxing Helena. A rich surgeon operates on his object of his obsession, his grotesque, disfigured, aloof neighbor, Helena.
Is this what The Room is based on?
Technically, what's super interesting... No, it's not. But what's super interesting is that this is the movie that inspired... Marvel to do Doctor Strange.
I'm sorry.
I'm just fucking with you.
I know. So I like that movie Surveillance that Jennifer Lynch did, which apparently she didn't make Surveillance for another 13 years. Like, she didn't make a movie in between Surveillance and this because...
How could you? How could you top this? 13 years later, that's how you do it.
Yeah, so, and this cast is random as fuck. Also, wait. Julian Sands' name is Dr. Nick, by the way.
Yeah. So, this movie is a tale of...
That's sexy, let me tell
immature you. Desires and possession. And...
Rain.
But it has a very Lynch... David Lynch, like...
Oh, you swear, like, it's not his daughter.
Yeah, but you could see where... I don't know, like, I feel like this is a very, like, I don't know, like... This came out at the same time, like, all those Red Shoe Diaries and the... was it Emmanuel series were all coming out? Emmanuel was, like, way older, but, like, they were still continuing up until this point. Or, like... you get these, like...
You're talking about the B Cup Emmanuel?
Yeah. And very much like Anne Rice's Sleeping Beauty series.
I think Ben told me about those.
Have you read those?
No.
Next week.
Next week, no. We're not going to read much more Anne Rice.
That's like, a bummer.
Not for me.
Those are completely different, but they're very like.
But they're written by the same person who.
No, they're written.
Who partway through starts writing Jesus fan fiction, right?
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't write Jesus fan fiction.
No, she not in those stories, but yeah, she does.
No, I'm saying, but eventually she starts writing Jesus fan fiction,
and then she goes back to her vampires. It's like, oh, my bad.
My bad.
I forgot where my paychecks were coming from.
I forgot. You went vampires, not John the Baptist.
Yeah. But it's a very, like, obviously it's a 90s film, but it's also a, you got to take in consideration, like, all, like, the taboos of, like... 93. It's brought up to the max with this, because, like, the independence of the woman, you know what I mean? Which, some parts are just comically, like, just ridiculous. The doctor's like throwing his a big old vent. Well, the movie starts off with him having mommy issues.
There's that, but like this movie is only like a stone throws away from I'm not a whore.
No, 100%. Because it starts off with like the little boy sitting at like this rich fancy party, and then like there's like these two like rich snobs goes like whose child is that? He goes, oh, it's what's her face. He's like, oh, I didn't know she had a child. And then you can see the little boy's like, I don't have a mommy. And then My mommy's a whore. And then all of a sudden, like, she... It, boom. Funeral scene. Bye, Mom. Just throws her into a box. And then, like, after that, young doctor only saw women as, like... As you only have, like, these certain standards of, like, being. You have to be a woman. You have to be polite. You can't be rude. You can't be sexual. You can't be a slut. And, like, that's what starts his, like, whole, like, looking at these girls. Like, how, like, he's running home, and then he, like, climbs up the tree and starts peeping on her. It's, like, which is basically, I think, if you watch Little Nicky, they pulled this scene.
From that part where he's on the, that, when you think about it, where he's, like, up there.
He's up there because it's, what's his name?
Sandler?
No, it's not Sandler. Who's, fuck, what's, he's still on that comedy show, Kravitz, no. The big guy. Remember, he's got the picnic and the wine. He's like, ooh, ladies. And then he's like, oh, take your bra off. Like, it's been a long day. Let those puppies air. Do you not know what scene I'm talking about?
I think I've seen Little Nicky once and a half times, and one of those times was in the movie theater. So that's how long ago that was.
What?
Yes.
You don't watch that movie over and over and over again?
I would say I've probably seen it one and a half, maybe two times.
What? John Lovitz. It starts with him on the actual, like, tree, on a branch, just like that guy. And he's got, like a picnic cloth out, and he's got wine and candles. And he's watching this mom, like, undress, and then, like, and then his kid comes in, and he's going to take off the bra, and then he calls on the phone, is like, hey, tell your mommy to, you know, take off that bra. And, like, they look out the window, is like, oh, there's a pervert out there. And the kid throws a slingshot, hits John Lovitz. He
dies, and that's how you find a heaven. Or that's how you find out about hell, I mean, yeah.
But, like, that scene was just, like, because it's, I mean, that's the most well-lit shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, it needs to be.
And then, like, he sees her, and then he fucking goes and he calls his therapist or his buddy, and he's like, oh, she's, I saw her again, and she was fucking somebody else. And
it's fucking Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
And then Bill Paxton's fucking insanely great in everything, but, like, he's just like, oh, yeah, oh, you need to be, like, we all talk about letting the cage out, but what about letting the wolf Paxton out? Let me tell you.
But, yeah.
The one with the wolf packs out, because he's letting the wolf packs out in this. I'm gonna do that as a thing for an actor who's been dead for 5 years, but, like, did really awesome things in the 80s. Letting the wolf packs out.
But, man, dude, have you seen Dr. Nick, what he looks like now?
Because he's fucking dead.
Oh, well, like, it's the latest photo of him.
That photo's, you know he died, right?
When did he die?
He went hiking and they never found him.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, he died this year.
Yeah.
No idea.
Warlock is dead. You ever see Warlock?
What? I did see
him. He was before. A Warlock also?
I did see that.
He's, well, they never,
oh,
found
my
him.
Gosh. Yeah.
They never found him, but, like,
he was on Mount Baldy. Obviously, you know what happened, though.
Mount Baldy?
Yeah, of course, Mount Baldy. Do you not know?
What happened at Mount Baldy?
The Giants, the Sasquatch, the tunnel to center Earth.
So you think Julian Sands was, I'm Warlock and I'm going to go take on these Giants.
I'm sure he was eaten. Devoured by the Giants.
They like bones.
They have six fingers on their hands.
I have heard.
And they're redheads. They're Giants.
I have heard.
Two rows of teeth.
I have heard they made their broth out of bones.
And bread.
This cast is random as fuck, though, dude.
Yeah, it does.
Art Garfunkel? What the fuck? Like,
speaking of which,
is Art Garfunkel not good enough to be in a David Lynch movie, but we'll put you in a Jennifer Lynch movie?
You know who else is in this movie?
Red Foreman.
Yes, he is. Do you know who else is in this movie?
Bill Paxton.
Very much so. Do you know who else?
Julian Sands.
He's in the background.
Who's in the background?
Matt Berry.
Matt Berry's not in the background of this movie.
Yeah, he is.
Matt Berry wasn't alive. Or was alive, but he wasn't in... He wasn't from... That's not him. He's not in the background of this movie.
Yes, he is. He's in the movie.
Oh, yeah. You're going to take that thing that you've read... Where you've read, like, 15 wrong fucking things on that movie? Of that, Google?
Yeah. He's in the movie.
He's not in the movie.
He's in the movie.
It's not that Matt Berry.
It's 100% that Matt.
Matt Berry is from England.
Yeah, he came over just for that film.
He can't. Yes, in 1993, he came over just so he can be in David. Oh, I can't be just so he can be in David Lynch's daughter's movie.
Yes. What do you think of Helena's big entrance?
The jumping in the
fountain.
It was just kind of meh.
Oh my gosh, dude. You just don't get it. It's sexual. The metaphors in this movie are a little too on the point. Too kind of like, okay, cool. I need you to explain it more rather than show it. Because she's being weird for her father's sake. But at the same time, it's like... Some people like jazz. Some people don't. The people that don't like jazz need it kind of like spoon-fed to them in tiny little like easier bites.
Yeah.
Where like this movie is just kind of like she thought she was spoon-feeding people like these like little like things and it was just okay, I get it. This is like her baptism before her transformation and her transformation is taking a girl who's a slut who doesn't care about anybody or anything but herself and then showing her how someone could want her more than just her body. And then it's just like it's a weird story to tell that way, but
and it takes a while to get to the money shot of, hey, you ran over my legs.
Oh, how would you think of that scene? That's a great scene.
That's very David Lynch.
Yeah. Standing in the car was like 2 miles away. And she was like, and she saw it. She's like still standing in the road. And that guy just still ran her over. But that crunch in the bone pop, I was like, ooh, ooh. But I remember watching this movie because my sister rented it. And then I remember just walking in and out.
It's like your sister used to be fun type of things.
Yeah. She's still fun. She's still fun. But no, it was like, I remember like she was watching it and I remember like I had to go through her room to get to the laundry room.
And that's where you walked in.
And then, I walked in, and I'm like, what are you watching? And she goes, get out, you can't watch this stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I just remember her getting hit. I remember watching the beginning of it, and then she kicked me out when they had that, when he was, like, peeping on her. And so, like, I was like,
that
ooh.
Was after.
I was like, ooh, titties. And then, because it was, like, it was a funeral. It was him as a little boy, and then
funeral.
The funeral. Then it was hit, and then the peeping was happening right there. And then I'm like, oh, my titties, what? And then I was like, yeah, you can't watch this. I'm like, okay. But after that, I'm like, oh, I need to watch this movie. And then it was just kind of like.
Did you tell your sister we're doing this on the podcast?
No, I should have told her on Thanksgiving. Then I was remember watching it. I was like, okay, cool. Like, she broke her legs. And then it was like, is this turning into, like, a Misery story?
Misery came out a few years, about a year or so before.
But the book was out.
Book bad for a while. But I don't think she wrote it because of Misery. I don't get a Misery vibe off of this.
Yeah, this is just like.
I feel
like. What do you think this movie's about?
I'm going to say this real quick before I get there. Julian Sands, I feel, is really miscast.
Okay.
I think he's too good looking to be that role.
To be that.
Like, to be that weird and
creepy. Inept,
and, you know what I mean? And I know they tried to do the whole mommy issues thing at the beginning. Like, you can still be good looking and not have fucking social skills.
Yeah.
But that's not ever how that works. Like, you have those, but you're able to make up for it somehow.
Do you think they got him because they figured, oh, like.
I think he was hot off fucking Warlock, that's why.
And they were thinking, like, dude, like, we can have you do something kind of, like, risque and grotesque with the body dysmorphia. Oh, not dysmorphia, but modifications. Because, like, he ends up mutilations. Because, yeah, he gets rid of the legs completely. And then he gets rid of, like, the arms and so she's
like,
just
and
a torso.
Then, like, how does she, technically speaking, how does that work? Like, does she, she's clearly on her knees, like, when they do that. But,
oh,
like,
I was, like, paying attention when I was watching it. She has a double blouse or double dress on. So her back of the dress is like a cape. And so when she's in that box, her arm's on the
back. Not the box. I'm talking about the wheelchair.
Oh, the wheelchair.
No, the box I got.
Yeah.
I'm an adult who's seen a magician. So the box I got. Yeah. I'm talking about the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, because essentially she's just on her fucking knees, right?
Yeah. Or unless she's standing. Booger. She's standing with a fake floor.
And then, like the fucking kid? Like the strollers they have for the kids, you think?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you have the baby, but you have it with a toddler, and you have them stand on the fucking thing so they're not walking, they're just fucking standing all day? Yeah. Or they can fucking sit on it?
Yeah. Right? Because then, like, you just have to make the fake bottom of the wheelchair, but then
she still has to be, like, where is she, how is she, she's...
Well, for that scene though, there's a cut because you only see it from a portion of her body when you focus on the legs, and then like it pans up, but there's a small cut that cuts into her. So I think
it's still in its own weird way. It's like watching that fucking orphan movie, like the second orphan movie, like where you couldn't figure the sizes out.
Oh, okay.
In its own weird way, like, you know, that one, like, she was a fucking adult at that point, and we're trying to make her look like a fucking 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, this one, we're trying to make someone... this one, we're trying to make a person who is, let's say she's 5'5". I'm not sure how tall Charlene Finn is.
Have you seen the movie Tiptoes?
No.
What?
What's Tiptoes?
Oh my god, we're watching this. Put this on the list, we're watching it. It's got fucking everybody in it. Everybody's in this movie. Fucking Theon Greyjoy. It's got fucking...
Everybody. Theon Greyjoy.
Not Theon. It has fucking...
Gary Oldman?
It's got Gary Oldman. He plays a little person. But it's got... what's his name? From Game of Thrones. The one that drinks. Tyrion Lannister.
Peter Dinklage.
Bridget the Midget. It's got... Read me the cast. Read me the list. Read me everybody, and I'll tell you what this movie's about.
Do you know who directed this movie?
No.
One of the guys who worked on The Forbidden Zone.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, that makes sense. The guy who made Freeway.
Oh, I love Freeway. That makes sense. Tiptoes, right? Is a movie about... Who's the main character in that?
I didn't look it up, but... Just main character.
Okay, so the main character is Matthew McConaughey, and he's dating this artist, and she's like, you know, it's like, you're going to meet your family, but you never take me to go meet your family. This is fucking bullshit. Like, you know, it's like, I want to be part of your life, and you're ignoring me. He ends up getting her pregnant, and he's terrified, and he goes to his brother's, like, annual convention. And his brother is Gary. He ends up being a little person. The entire time, Gary Oldman is a little person, and he is on his knees throughout the entire film, just walking on his knees. He's got little shoes strapped to his knees, and he's just like hobbling around, and he's fantastic. And Matthew McConaughey's biggest fear is that he is terrified that if he has kids, because his mom and dad are little people, and Gary Oldman, his brother, is a little person, that his son will be a little person. And he does not want to have that. And he's trying to get an abortion. And then the entire time, Gary Oldman, you see him walking down the street. You see him doing all this stuff. You see him sitting on the couch. And the entire time, you just see these fake legs because he's sitting inside the couch. And he's like, but making it look like these are his real legs. And then the entire time, he's running, but he's running on his knees. And like, it's hilarious. The same type of camera trickery that was used in Tiptoes was used in Box and Helena.
First off,
Tiptoes.
First off,
we're watching it.
I don't need you to tell me that Gary Oldman is great.
I apologize.
Because you can throw a rock at any Gary Oldman movie, and Gary Oldman is great, sir.
This movie, it just blew me away. Like, I believe it. And then Bridget the Midget's there, and then has his affair with this whore midget, and it's this big old thing, and it's just like, and then like, oh my god, dude, it is a wild film. It is a wild film. Box and Helena.
Yes.
what do you think of the overall like story though? Like, what do you think the story is about?
It's about control, but not knowing, not being able to manage.
Okay.
Feelings, you know, a relationship. I think that's what it is. Because his one was falling apart before he even, you know what I mean? Like, before he even had something else.
Yeah.
And, like, it should. But, like, he was, like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't finish up the one, his fucking business with the one lady. And then he started going over to, like, this other one. And it's, like...
Yeah, because, like, he was, like... Well, he had one before. Then, like... Then she was, like... Helena's jumping in the fountain, having her fucking free fun time out there. And his girlfriend's like, oh, that's why you invited Helena, you piece of shit? Like, and I'm your girlfriend? Like, this is fucking ridiculous. And she goes, I'm leaving. He goes, Helena, wait. He goes, God damn it, my name is Amy. And she runs out.
I was like, I'm sorry, what, bud?
This movie is just like, it's two stories. Her story of Helena just being like this selfish, I want to call her a slut,
it feels like? I feel like the girl in the room, like, that was exaggerated. Like, I think she did things, but I don't think she was, like, that mean. I think that's just the way, if that was based on a true story, I think he, like, embellished that a lot.
Okay.
I feel the same thing about this, like, but then when you get to the end, you're like, oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. And the thing, too, it's like, because having her arms and legs taken away from her so she couldn't, like, whatever, she finally, is this a bad film? No.
Like, okay, Principal Skidder. Am I so out of touch? Is this a bad movie? No, it's the children who are wrong.
It's the children who are wrong. No, but like, not that like women have like a place or whatever, but like she learns that she's more than just her body. Because when Paxton was around, he was like, oh, I want you to wear this dress and I want you to take you out. And like, basically, this is what I want you to look like. This is what I want you to be. And this is how I want you to act. And then we're going to fuck. And she's like, no, I'm going to Mexico. I'm doing my own thing. And it was just very much like, okay, because he was trying to put her in a box. But it wasn't until Dr. Nick actually put her in a box that she realized, oh.
Now that, okay, I don't have a body.
now that I am completely reliant on a man who genuinely loves her. And not in just a physical way, but like emotionally and mentally. Like, she's like, oh, like, okay. You know what I mean? Because then she starts to connect with him. And then it gets to the point where, like, Bill comes back. Now, Bill comes back to see what's happening. Sees that, like, he fucking, like, chopped up his fucking girl. And then, is it Stockholm Syndrome? Where she's now, like, don't hurt him. Like, I need him. And it was, it like, is it the selfish reasons that you need him to survive? Or is it, like, you now are in love with him?
So, are you saying this is Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, 100%. You don't think so?
No, I agree.
Yeah, okay. You were not a fan of this movie?
I'm happy I saw it, I guess. I don't think I need to see it again. Although, using my useless knowledge of, hey, this person was in this, that girl that he bangs in front of her while she's, like, cucking out on him.
Oh, yeah.
That's the girl from the counter at the beginning of Christmas Vacation.
Is it really?
Yes.
Nice. But this came out, this was obviously a bomb in theatrical release. Yeah. On Siskel and Ebert, I think it was...
One of them liked it. I think Siskel liked it.
Siskel liked it, because when it came down to the re-release on VHS...
He was like,
this is a film that a lot of people didn't give a lot of credit to. The girl that played Helena wasn't a big fan of it.
Sherilyn Fenn?
Yeah, but I think I read somewhere else that she was glad she did it, but she thought that the story could have been more tighter on her. Which would make sense.
But that story wasn't about her. It was about him.
It was about him.
That's just, I don't know. I'd be interested when she did that. Dude, like, I know I started doing, because we had talked about Siskel and Ebert, because, like, Siskel has, like, garbage opinions, mostly.
You didn't like this film? I honestly, rewatching it again, because I've only seen it that once. Actually, so I saw it, that partial clips, right? But I also watched it before my sister returned back to the video store. Just fast forwarded all the good parts. I'm like, okay, cool. And even now, I still think it's a good movie. I think the story about, like, her being limbless her being limbless depending on the man that she hated but now loves. Like, I don't think it was Stockholm Syndrome. I think she genuinely really loved him, because he even told her, he's like, do you love me? Like, how do you love me? Is it, do you love me like a woman?
So, okay.
And then he ends up having sex with her torso, and, like,
okay, so she's then, but why into is it, it. So then why is, okay, fine then. Why is this not Stockholm Syndrome, but Beauty and the Beast is?
I don't think it is. People say it is, but I don't think it is either. But the thing, too, because you have to sympathize with your captor, and she never sympathized with him. She ridiculed him throughout the entire film. And then it wasn't until, like, he showed her how much he loved her by, like, fucking that other chick, that, like, and she helping him get over his fucking mommy issues, that it was like, oh, like, they're in even playing. It's the same thing, like, with bondage. Like, you know, it's like when it comes to, like, to, or when submissive people give themselves over to dominant people, like, there's a trust on both sides that have to be equal. Like, you have to trust that the dominant person is not going to put you in harm. He'll take you to the brink of harm, but it won't, you will be physically fine. You know what I mean? Even though you feel helpless in your mind, it's going through, like, all this, like, emotions, like, you have to trust that he or they will never, like, put you over that limit. And with a submissive, like, it's, you have to, like, there's that so much trust and, like, I'll let you do this, but I trust you to the point where, like, I put everything on me, and yeah, I need you to be, to respect that and push me to my limits, but never cross them. And the same thing, like, there's this give and pull. And the same thing in this movie where, like, she has her limits and she doesn't see him as an equal up until that moment. And when she sees him as an equal, then they have that, I want you to make me feel like a woman. And then the two of them, that's where, like, the story is. You got these two polar opposites combining together and realizing that, like, okay, like, yeah, we are together. That's why when Bill Paxton comes back in and is like, how dare you? Her fear wasn't the fact that, like, to save me from him. Her fear was, like, don't you hurt him, because, like, that was the man that she loved at that moment. And then, obviously, like, you know, they get taken away, and then she gets, like, she's in surgery for, like, so many hours or whatever, but, like, and then the movie just kind of ends after that. But, like,
well, it was a dream.
That's what I think the story is about. About, like, the power of trust between two people. And you could tell he was already obsessed. Like, you know, like, nothing he did was very, like...
Except, you know, jacking off in that tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ask a question each week.
Oh, my God, yes.
Where do you want him? Where do you want
Corey
him?
Feldman? Lord Corey Feldman.
Clearly him as a child.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, I know for sure. The
fell dog.
I want him
to be Art Garfunkel's role. I don't need Art Garfunkel in anything.
Okay. Okay.
We need one musician in this movie. Sorry, Art Garfunkel. It's not you.
Bill Paxton.
You think you can...
Could you not see...
Did you not want to let the wolf packs out?
Do you not see how great he would be?
No, because the wolf packs is out.
Oh, my God, dude. He would be amazing at that. Just that over-the-top fucking, like, guy telling a girl to wear slutty dresses. Who let the
packs out?
All Corey Feldman needs to do is just fucking wear the slutty dress I'm going to show you off tonight and carry that bass guitar, bitch. That's all he needed to say.
Can you sing? Can you sing back up? What's your moonwalking skill like? I'm trying to get all the angels to moonwalk.
Dude, honestly, Corey Feldman would have fucking destroyed that fucking movie he was in. He would have been too young. Oh, you know what? At that age, he would have been...
Probably been strung out on heroin.
No, that's the wrong Corey. It's Corey Haynes.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody who's that close in Hollywood didn't do heroin together.
I think
that's the wrong Corey. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm sure Corey Feldman didn't do heroin or any type of drugs with Corey Haynes.
He
wasn't
hanging out with Joaquin Phoenix or River Phoenix. I think he probably would have been like Dr. Nick.
That would have been a better one. That would have upped the weirdness on the fucking movie, which I'm sure fucking the Lynches would have loved.
I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna go back and revise a statement that I made. Julian Sands is miscast for the first half of this movie.
Okay.
The second half of this movie needs, when he makes that transformation, as you were saying.
Yeah.
After he fucks the girl in front of her and gets over his mommy issues, like that whole, you need someone that can be intense. That and I think
metamorphosis.
That metamorphosis. Corey Feldman's got one note.
Nah, dude. Could you imagine? We could have had Corey Feldman's butt on screen forever.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Forrest.
What have you been blanking?
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. I've been watching...
Easy there, Snagglepuss.
90 Day Fiancé.
Oh my God, you're one of those people now?
I am one of those people now. Well, the second season
the got no-neck me, guy?
But then it was no.
The guy with the no neck?
I'm not there yet.
Oh. But
the second season got me. Everything I've been watching since then was just been whatever. And I'm kind of over it. But I've also been watching...
The Golden Bachelor?
The Golden Bachelor. Yeah, thank you.
Oh my God, you're a bachelor person now?
Oh man. Well, it was because I needed something to watch in the background.
Okay.
And it kept popping up on Hulu. It was like, hey, watch this. I'm like, sure. And
and then you're just like, this is a fucking train wreck.
Dude, it's just like...
It's actually
pretty funny.
I've seen a handful of Bachelor episodes. Have you ever seen the Saturday Night Live parody on it?
No.
Where they're sitting in the garden and all the girls on the show will pop in. And they'll be talking to, like, the guests, and the guest is always, like, some, like, out-of-control character.
Yeah.
And they'll be talking, oh, this is nice. And then they'll talk, and then someone will tap them on the shoulder, can I go? And then the girl will be, oh, this is nice. Yeah. Like, every time, like, that's the joke. It's like, oh, this is nice.
It's funny. No, but there's one part that I thought was hilarious in the first episode is... the guy is, like, you know, meeting all these girls, and, like, they give you the tragic backstory of, like, you know, how he was married at first and his wife passed away.
Oh.
And then, like, he's trying to find love again. And they have everybody come up, and they're doing the same, like, rose ceremony bullshit.
Yeah.
And he's, like, these girls are... Which is interesting, because the girls are grandmas. They're, you know what I mean? They're women.
So they're not girls.
Yeah.
They're women.
So these women are, like, at first, they're very supportive of each other and very kind of, like, taking care of each other. And they go into the hotel or the mansion. And then they're like, okay, cool. And the first thing's like, okay, well, who needs bathroom, needs to be by the bathroom so that night you could just go. They're just organizing,
yeah,
catering to everybody, which is super nice. And then during the rose ceremony, they're passing out the roses and everything's all fine and dandy. And at the end of the credits... one of the producers is walking around the mansion and sees one of the ladies, one of the grandmas, asleep on the couch, just snoring her ass off. And then he taps her on the shoulder. He's like, hey, you missed the rose ceremony. And she goes, oh, okay, let's go. And she goes, no, it's over. And he goes, like, oh, okay. He goes, well, you got to get your bags and leave. He goes, like, oh, what happened? He goes, you didn't get picked. He goes, well, good thing I took a nap. And then they cut off after that. But, it was interesting, but overall, I wasn't too thrilled with it. It was a really short season, but, okay. Yeah, it was okay.
I didn't tell you this last month. I spaced on it for some reason. I saw the Dark Harvest movie, based on that book.
Based on...
Yeah, that book. Yeah. So I wasn't excited when I saw it was going to be directed by David Slade, because I'm not a David Slade fan.
Yeah.
The 30 Days a Night, David Slade. Yeah,
I think that chair is empty.
It's not. I moved all that shit over there. I wasn't impressed. I love that book so much. Like, I got through that book in a day, and it's been years since I've read a book in a day.
It's really good.
I love that book. Was not impressed with the movie.
Oh, okay.
Same
ending?
It was, remember how it was like, how it was told from, like, the monster's point of view for part of it?
Yeah, to me...
Like, they didn't do that. Like, they... So, this isn't spoiled because you've read the book.
Yeah.
So, the brother wins the year before.
Right.
And then he takes off.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah.
He's gone. And then you find out, you know, they stop him outside the town and they put him in the fucking thing to be the Scarecrow, and then he fucking comes back.
Right.
Like, I don't know, something about it felt off to me.
See, the way I saw it was a very, like,
I felt it could be very, like, practical effects. Like, I was looking at it being like, oh, yeah. Like, this can be very practical, like, I felt like this was
a movie. I don't think that story needs any CGI at all.
I felt like that was a movie. They, like, legit, if Sam Raimi had the money in the 80s to make that over Evil Dead, which I'm not saying he should have, but if that was a book that was made in the 80s, and he can make that into a movie.
Yeah.
I feel like he can do that movie with what he did. Like, using the same, like, say, like, he had the same effects crew for Evil Dead that he was doing for that. I felt like you can do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily. The way I always imagine that is a very kind of, like, 80s, like,
yeah.
Halloween-y theme. Like, very yeah. sepia tone, very kind of, like, blues and, like, heavy colors. And then just, because you don't have even, there's no real, like, you're not seeing a lot of the town. I mean, it's just a small town.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small town in this, too. You're right. You don't see a lot of it. It just felt off to me. And I mean.
Like, I think if the directors of, Stranger Things, they could easily adapt it.
I think.
If they use more blood.
I think if they had done
it. And more stabby. Or like the Fear Street movie. The first one.
I think if they... The first Fear Street movie was actually... I liked the first
one. I liked it a lot.
I didn't mind.
The third one, I was like, I'm over this.
Yeah, the first one I thought was really good, though. The first one was much more gruesome than I thought it was going to be, especially with that fucking bread slicer part.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I don't know. It's just... You know what I mean? I get vibes off directors that I don't like.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, James Cameron. Like, you put a James Cameron movie on in front of me, and I'm just going to be like, this is hell. This fucking blows. It's like, there's nothing fun about this at all for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
But it's on MGM Plus. I actually have a preview of it. I'll let you borrow. I'll log into it for you. And you can watch it on MGM Plus.
Nice.
We watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I did not.
Emily watched it with us. She's been trying to dip her toe into horror a little bit more. I'll get to that. So she was just okay with Five Nights at Freddy's. And I'm all, can I show you a movie? It's not a super scary movie, but it's a fun movie. I got Emily to watch Army of Darkness.
Oh, nice.
And she fucking loved Army of Darkness.
Oh, really? Nice.
It was like on the edge of... I've never seen my child on the edge of her seat and like 100% like, I'm into this movie.
Yeah, that's cool.
So so then it was on Tubi and it was going into Evil Dead 2 and my child said the words I've been waiting for one of my children to say for 12 years. Hey, I want to watch Evil Dead 2.
That's dope.
That's cool. So we didn't watch it then because it was night, and I'm like, look, this Evil Dead 2 is much scarier than Army of Darkness. Yeah. Army of Darkness is an adventure movie.
Yeah.
There's horror elements to it because it's from a horror franchise. But Evil Dead 2 is a straight up horror movie. Oh, there's some comedy in it. But it's much scarier than Army of Darkness. I'm all, if you want to watch it, we will 100% watch it, because I will watch Evil Dead 2 at any time.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. She got to about where he has to cut his hand off.
Ah, okay.
But she wanted to stop earlier. She wanted to stop when the headless girlfriend's body was coming after him with the chainsaw.
Is that the one where she's... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's after her dance, right?
Yeah. That scared the shit out of her where it pops back up because they time everything off.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm into this, but I know this is too scary for me right now. So she wasn't like every other movie where she was like, this is creepy. I don't want to fucking look at this ever again. Like, that's like 90% of the horror I show her.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to watch this ever again. Fuck this. No.
Yeah.
But this, she was like, I want to come back to this.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I'm like, all right. So we stopped right where, and I kept telling her, like, I'm like, well, let's see what happens next. Like, I kept doing that a little bit. I'm like, you sure you want to stop?
You sure you don't have about 30 minutes left? Like, 7 minutes?
We got about 20, 30 minutes. About 20 minutes into the movie, I think. Is what, 20, 25.
Yeah.
I'm like, you want to, I'm like, do you want to see him lose his hand at least? And she's like, all right. Because all that shit's funny where he's got to, like, where it's hit him the head with the fucking plates.
Oh, yeah.
All that, and then he stabs it and cuts it off. And...
Was it, speaking of Evil Dead, I've been on a kick of Evil Dead.
The game?
Yeah, that game. Dude, here tastes the shit. It's too scary.
It's fucking scary as shit.
I finally got to...
Did you finally beat that first level? Because I never beat it.
I beat the first level, so I got the necklace.
And I never beat it. Like, I get the necklace and I get my ass kicked.
But it continues on after that. Like, it's like, as soon as you get it, cool, here's chapter two. And we're just going
right into it. Yeah, no, I figure it does that.
And then it's...
Is that even harder?
You got to find a shovel. I got the shovel, and that ends that one. And then it's like, cool, let's bury Nancy. And I'm like, crap, dude. So I was like, got to the
third. Oh, no, I've got to that. Okay, so I've gotten through those parts.
Okay.
That's just the first part of the game.
Dude, it's
like, there's a whole, like, next part that where you're in a different part of, like, a different map.
Yeah, so.
Have you played the multiplayer part of it, though?
No, not yet. I tried it, but nobody was playing. So I was like, okay. But other than that, yeah, so I was playing the game. Great. But I needed more Evil Dead, and I didn't want to watch a full movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, the TV show.
So you watched the show?
So I watched the show, and then I forgot so much about the second season.
That whole show was great.
So I'm like, oh, my God, I don't remember this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I do remember this. And then, like, so I watched that. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I never saw the third season. I'm on episode three of the third season.
It's fucking good. Third season's great. Like, yeah. I'm bummed that they stopped the show after this.
It's such a good show. Like, it's funny.
It's funny. It keeps the tone perfectly. I mean... Sam Raimi produced it, and Bruce was there the whole time, so yeah.
I like the part where they're in the car, and the car is possessed, and he picks up his buddy, his drinking buddy, and he's like, is there a shotgun in the backseat of my car? He goes, is that a chainsaw in the backseat of my car? He goes, yeah. What's that for? Ice sculpture. Oh, okay. Is that a shotgun back there? What's that for? He goes, in case you don't pay for the ice sculpture. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So stupid.
Like, I want to, I need her to, there's fucking in that first season of that show.
Just that one episode.
I know, but, like, still I'm kind of like.
And then there's the titties in the third season. With Paco's or Pablo's vision lady.
Okay. So boobs, I'm cool. Like, if they see a tit, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
My thought on dongs and fucking is let's get through a health class first, and then we'll, depending on the what's happening there, you know what I mean? We'll figure out from there. But yeah, that's kind of my thing is let's get through a health class. Because if you get through a health class, like, what's the fucking big, you know what I mean? Like, if it's just, like, this is the scene of the movie, and they're just, like, banging real quick, if they're, like, banging one out, like, that's not... Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like TV banging?
Yeah. Rather than, like, movie banging. If it was...
TV banging is different.
Yeah, like, TV banging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the part in Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Where, like, his girlfriend, like, starts banging. Like, that's... Oh, that I would be like, that's okay. There's not... They don't see a lot.
Yeah, it's...
Very, and it's just, like... It's close up. It's kind of... Yeah, it's close up. Like, yeah. Boxing Helena would be a different thing. I saw the South Park Pandaverse episode. Did you watch that?
I did see that.
What did you think?
They were pretty light on their punches, but it was good.
Well, because they hit both sides. They always hit both sides. That's the thing, is they swing wild and hit both sides.
Yeah, no, but it was good. I liked it.
Okay, so I just played for you the last... they're calling that the last Beatles song.
I was okay with it. I could see why it was never released.
Well, here's what it was. It was...
'Cause it doesn't feel completed.
Well, here's what it is. So here's what happened.
It feels like it was like mid-written... like. Work, and they're like, we'll get back to him and fix it up.
That's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
So, John was working on that song in the 70s, didn't finish it, and they had him on a piano and a vocal track, right? Yeah. So, they were trying to do that song when they did Free as a Bird and Real Love, which I like.
Oh, okay.
During Anthology.
Yeah.
George wasn't too keen on the song, and the track that they had for John... It was like a home recording of him and the piano. So him singing it, and it was just kind of a demo that he was working.
Yeah.
So now we're at this point where you can, separate those tracks now with AI.
Yeah.
And then you can go in and you can go and fix all that with, you know, I mean, go in there and fix all the levels and the
pitches
and everything
tempo,
and fix it. So that's what they did. And they fixed it. And so Paul said he went in there and did, like, a slide guitar. Like, that solo was Paul doing a George solo.
Oh, okay.
But it just sounds like Paul playing a slide guitar. So, like, I get it, but no. Yeah. So that was, like, his way of trying to get George into it.
Oh, I think your dad was telling me about that, because he was saying...
My dad...
They got people to work on it.
Yeah, that was Daryl. I think it was Daryl, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Or my pops. Anyway.
And then they didn't tell him that it was...
They didn't tell him it was the song.
Yeah.
They just said it was a Paul McCartney thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah. And then Peter Jackson is the one... Peter Jackson shit is all the one to that, because that's how they got a lot of the stuff... A lot of the recordings from that Get Back was done the same way. They had all those old tapes, and they did that.
The Peter Jackson World War One.
Well, he did that with the World War One movie, and that's what he did with Get Back. Yeah. That's the same shit they used on They Shall Never Grow Old.
Yeah,
such a documentary. That's such a we have it, and I keep trying to show it to Lisa. We just don't have time. But
I saw it in the theater, and there was like a 20-minute presentation before it. Before
him talking, the movie. Doing the same shit.
Oh, man, it's so
shit.
Good.
Did you see what they're going to do on Apple? They're doing like the Air Force version of Band of Brothers. Like, it's like the third series of it. So there's Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
And then there's the Pacific. And then I forgot what this next one is called. But it's the...
How was the Pacific? I never watched it.
I didn't finish it.
But, yeah, okay.
I saw it was fine. I want Lisa to watch it because Lisa likes all that World War II shit.
Oh, nice.
I listened to a book called MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios.
Okay.
And it was all behind the scenes shit of Marvel. It was interesting.
Nice.
Did you finish Gen V?
I finished Gen V.
What are your thoughts on how it ended? Do you think that girl's dead?
No, I don't think she's dead.
The theory is that she's not, that she's dead, and No, they didn't clone her. The Schwarzenegger's son's girlfriend.
Yeah.
That she touched them all and had them, they're all in like a fucking thing. So the theory is that he killed that girl.
Yeah.
And then she's got them all in like a daze. Like, you know, she's kind of the Jean Grey of that.
Yeah.
She's in like a, she's got them all in a Jean Grey days.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah, but it's supposed to somewhat tie into the next season, and then...
Which is taking forever.
It should be here soon.
You know what, this whole pandemic,
I think it was more
than... It really delayed and threw everything completely, like... back, because everything's taking forever.
I think
A bunch of movies got canceled
I think there was a season, they did a season in the middle of the pandemic of that show.
Yeah, but it could have been better. But that was already done. That was already in post-production.
It wasn't that much post-production in that. Did you catch up on Invincible?
I did, actually. It's funny, because I think we were talking about it.
Yeah. IGN was all like...
You sent me the Amy Winehouse...
Yeah. It's dying. And they're leaving needles everywhere.
Yeah.
I showed Lisa that. She didn't see the humor in Shane McGowan dying. As if there was a code... that we're gonna fucking send Shane. We're gonna send you a picture of dead fucking Amy Winehouse as the code that Shane McGowan died.
But yeah, and then, oh man, that was so funny. But yeah, no, then I was scrolling and I saw that Invincible meme that you sent me.
Yeah.
But I didn't scroll all the way. I just saw, I was like, oh, it's better than the comic? I'm like, bullshit. So I went online and started watching it immediately and I'm like...
It's not... Yeah. It's good.
Then I saw the rest of the meme after I finished it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
No one who's read the comic would say that.
But,
You haven't even finished... But they're really fucking, like...
They're staying true to it.
Well, no. They're saying... Well, they're cutting...
Removing stuff around?
They're moving stuff around. They're either moving stuff around or they're, like, way... They're gonna do more beyond the comic. Because they've already put Marcus in there.
Yeah.
And Marcus is... There's only 140 issues of that comic, and that's issue 100-ish.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Then they probably will. I mean, like, just like with The Walking Dead, like that...
Yeah, that would be weird because like that comic ends in a decent spot, but I would be okay with that because he's working on it.
Yeah,
you know, if that's how he wants to continue his stories, then fuck it, like who cares?
Yeah, More money.
Did you finish Loki?
Oh, dude.
Did you like it or no?
Dude, that's, I struggled with that season.
The second season of Loki?
Yeah, it was like, okay, I don't care. And like, as I'm watching, I'm like, how is this even important? None of this is important. And then like, it gets to the very end, I'm like, it wasn't important.
It was the misdirect.
The whole thing was just a misdirect. I'm like, okay, cool. Because at the end, no, none of that was important. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay.
But
like,
that's why.
And then I'm like, oh, okay. But made me appreciate it more. And then the ending, though. Dude. I thought it was really, really good.
Did you see The Marvels yet?
No, I have not.
Dude, fucking fun-ass movie.
I've heard that from everybody.
Like, it's... Yes.
So, does it pick up immediately where Ms. Marvel ends?
Yes. Oh, kind of. Yes and where everybody's switching.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole thing. Okay. Like, there's this whole thing where when they don't know, we figure out as an audience, we know what's happening, like why they're switching.
Bengals.
Well, no, it's not that. But she only has one. Anyway, we know why they're, you find out why, like, pretty quick, like why they're switching, but they don't know why, and they start switching out. So they're all switching out at different places.
That'd be a fun video game.
Oh, dude, it's not a fun video game. It's one of the best fight scenes I've seen in a Marvel thing.
Oh.
Because all three of them keep trading places. And all three of them have different powers, and all three of them have different strengths.
Yeah.
And one of them's a rookie, one's, you know, Captain Marvel, the strongest, the other one's still kind of learning her shit.
Yeah.
So everything kind of jumps around a bit.
That's cool.
It's fun. Like, that's cool. I don't know why... it's not a perfect movie, but none of those Marvel movies are.
Do you think they're going to get rid of Iron Man's face?
Who?
Captain Marvel?
No.
With a brogue?
Are they going to do that? That would be interesting if they do.
Because I don't think, what's her name?
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. I don't think she doesn't fit in with the crowd of the typical MCU, like, group. She always stands out, but, like, it's...
She seems, I think she's a really good actress, and I think she's great.
I don't think she fits in with...
I don't think
the
it's...
The old MCU cast, like...
But that's the thing, is that how much of that MCU cast is still around outside of fucking Thor and Paul Rudd
and Spider-Man.
And
Robert Downey Jr. possibly coming back.
I don't think that's... If it happens, it's gonna... If it happens, it'll make sense with the ending of Marvels. Have you heard the ending?
No.
Okay. Want me to ruin it for you?
Tell me.
Okay. So, she... Photon ends up going to a different... dimension.
What did you tell me? Just kidding. Fuck everything. Go ahead.
She goes to a different dimension, and she wakes up in like a hospital, and Beast is working on her.
Oh.
And it's Kelsey Grammer Beast.
Okay.
What do you mean? I think it's a CGI one. I think it's him just doing the voice.
Yeah. That just. Okay.
No. Okay.
My thing is I'm happy. My thing is just. I want a new cast.
Who else do you need to play that fucking character?
I want anybody else.
No.
Do you know who I want? You know that skinny...
Look.
Skinny gay guy in Will and Grace?
You want Sean Hayes to be Beast?
Thank you. I want him to be Beast.
First off, no.
Yeah.
But I didn't even like...
Could you imagine him as a bear?
I like the About a Boy kid
that
plays him in those ones. I like him. But I was just okay with him being Beast.
I was okay with it, but I didn't like it.
That's
like first class.
I get it. But even then, I was like, no, like, I like Kelsey. Who else is going to voice Beast?
Kelsey Grammer was great as Beast, and he was a fantastic pick at the time. But I feel like he's past it.
Okay. If they're going to have him do action shit, they're going to CGI it anyway.
Yeah. But,
so what's the fucking, who cares?
Yeah, I guess.
Who the fuck cares? Like, who else? Like, if we can't keep Hugh Jackman, why can't we just keep him?
No, I don't want him.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Forrest.
We are going to do a double feature for Christmas. It is the Christmas Spectacular.
Perfect. What are we watching?
William S. Burroughs, A Junkie's Christmas.
Oh shit, okay.
And Rod Serling's Carol for Another Christmas.
Carol for Another Christmas and A Junkie's
Christmas.
Christmas. Perfect.
Next week. Well, that's going to do it for the episode this week. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at our Instagram
at yhblankthat.
Or you can email us at yhblankthat@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.